Back at the Pleasant Street Tea Company, this is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Heather Atwood of the MidPod and the two moms, and you are back from California.
I am, yeah.
Safe and sound,
very dry and breezy and beautiful out there in California.
Sort of like what we have here today.
This is a California day, I would say that, yeah.
Just going to enjoy it because it ain't going to be here.
I know. It was colder than I thought it was going to be in California, really? I will say that. I was kind of chilly the whole time. But.
So what was the temperature?
I think it was like 45 to 55,
okay.
And I was hoping it was going to be warmer, so I stayed bundled up. Okay. People keep their parkas on.
So let's set the stage. We're in California. Were you, and for what?
Okay, so Southern California, we stayed in the Los Angeles area. We were covering the congressional districts.
That's a big area.
Yeah, it is a big area, and we covered a lot of ground, let me tell you. We were deliberately covering two congressional districts. One was 22. Devin Nunes is the incumbent congressman there. Mm-hmm. And one was 25. Stephen Knight is the incumbent congressman there. They're both Republicans. And the 22 area is basically the San Joaquin Valley. It's not the whole San Joaquin Valley. It's a tiny chunk of the San Joaquin Valley. So Fresno is in 22. So it was so interesting to drive from the San Fernando Valley near Los Angeles, go through some of these amazing mountains, see the burned wildfire, size of these mountains burned from the wildfires. And then you're hot, and the mountains have nothing on them. You know, it's all scrub. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing, but they're so impressive. And then to descend down a mountainside into the San Joaquin Valley, which I don't know if you know, I didn't know this. It extends 350 miles. So that's from Boston to beyond Philadelphia. I mean, that's a big valley. And almost all of America's food is grown in that valley.
Wow.
So that was just a whole different cultural piece. So that was really interesting.
So that's an aside. Your main mission was to find out about Devin Nunes and his popularity?
Exactly, yeah. So Devin Nunes is the...
And by the way, in Gloucester, his name would be Nunes.
Oh, that's true. Right. So Devin Nunes. Mm-hmm. So he is the chairman of the House in Oversight Committee, and he is the author of the famous Nunes memo, which he recently, had completely declassified and published to the world. And we could go into that, or we can just run right by it.
Let's go to what you found.
Okay. So he's been super, super active, let's just say, in Washington. Involved with the Russian administration, the Russian saga.
Yeah,
okay,
there's a slip of the tongue.
Right? Exactly. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. So that Nunes has been really active in that investigation, and he is very much on the side of Trump, and he is trying to claim that there's no involvement. So what's he doing at home, right? Mm-hmm. He's representing his district. That district, water is such a big deal in that district because there's most of the country's food is grown not just in that district from the whole valley, but it's, these big industrial farms. They need water really badly. They're very corporate. And then the people need water. So we were told that in Fresno, the lead levels are higher than in the public water are higher than Flint, Michigan. So you cannot drink the water in Fresno.
Wow.
And yet they need so much water. Mm-hmm. And when you're driving there, you are just driving by almond trees. It is like mile and mile and mile because that area is almonds and some citrus. But almonds have taken over, by the way, because of the almond milk thing. So so that's become a big deal there. So there's some really big issues there. Water is probably the biggest one. Immigration is right up there with it. Because guess who has to work on these farms? No, a lot of them are becoming roboticized, but they still need those migrant workers. And I kept saying, so what do these corporations think is going to happen if ICE takes away all their migrant workers? Because apparently all the migrant workers are undocumented.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. We'll get jobs.
Well, I also, a little aside, we ended up at the California Democratic Convention in San Diego, and Senator Dianne Feinstein got up and spoke, and she said, we asked Americans to take those jobs, and no one would show up. So that's why all these workers are undocumented. So this is a problem. Anyway, my point is Congressman Nunes is facing some serious stuff in his district, and he has They're raising, his constituency has been very supportive. He does have a lot of money. He's very, very wealthy himself, so he can sort of self-fund his campaign. But the people in the district are not happy, and he is not well-spoken when it comes down to asking him about doing town halls or anything like that representing the district. He gets pretty hostile. And his opponent, this Democrat named Andrew Janz, is just wonderful. He is young and strong and handsome, and he is a deputy district attorney, and you know, works with law enforcement. They respect him. He grew up in the district. He's well known. He's so well respected. So Nunes has a solid opponent.
It's interesting to get that perspective on a local politician or a local politician's constituency versus what we see nationally. And in your travels, do you talk to people, or have you talked with people who love the guy, or on the other hand, don't like what he's doing? I mean, have you talked with both sides? Have you had people who really do support Nunes, or do you guys just seek out the Democrat view?
We definitely do not just seek out the Democratic view. We try pretty hard to find opposing views, to find the Republican point of view. We had a potluck in Fresno. We do that in every district. And we really only had Democrats at our potluck, and they were very unhappy with Nunes' representation. I can't say that we found anyone who supported him. Hmm. We didn't. And even, I was saying, the local paper, which is called the Fresno Bee, has traditionally been pretty conservative, and they have supported him, and they are not anymore. Hmm. And they're so there's definitely a change in the wind.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because here in Massachusetts, I'm finding more and more people who are disenchanted with the United States senators, both of them. Both Moakley, is that his name? Moakley,
Markley.
See, I don't know.
Markey.
Yeah, Markey. There you go.
Nobody knows what he looks like.
Right. Yeah. And Warren. Warren is running for president. She's not taking care of Massachusetts, as far as I'm concerned, but that's who I talk to. But on the other hand, a lot of the Democrats I talk with absolutely love Charlie Baker and what he's doing. And nobody, I hope I don't jinx it, nobody has a bad word about Bruce Tarr.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it astounds me that we can't, as a country, come a little bit more toward each other, or that Congress isn't working for us rather than just trying to get reelected. And I just don't understand that. But I do think that, obviously, in the midterm, some of the districts you've covered with the special elections, they've gone Democrat.
They have, yeah. No, it's, I think that people,
that we're Republican is what I'm saying.
Right, exactly. And what I'm seeing that's really interesting is a lot of these issues that had been kind of Republican versus Democrat are becoming bipartisan, like the environment. You know, water is an environmental issue. And if you can't drink the water, or if you need water, you know, you're, It becomes a bipartisan issue, you know. So or if your beaches are polluted and your rivers are polluted, and you're a business trying to attract tourists, and it's not going to work because
you're. I'm going to interrupt you, but on a personal level, do you find it like sort of almost terrifying that you found this water situation in a couple of different places now you've been across the country?
I do, yeah. The water issue is so big; it's incredible. And what we were told is that. You know, after 100 years of farming out there, and once it turned into sort of industrialized agriculture, the water usage is so excessive that they've drained the aquifers, and then the land is collapsing. So the aquifers are collapsing. So there's no way to rebuild the aquifer because the space is not there anymore. So there's some really serious issues. But you know what is the saddest thing? What we're learning is that what we were told by more than one source is that, okay, it doesn't work for these big industrial farms here. They're packing up and moving to Mexico. The water and the worker is there. So this is we will not have a national. This is a national security issue. If we do not have our own natural source of food, if we have, as a country, have to import all our food, this is national security. But I have, on a light note, I have to tell you a funny story.
Okay.
I want to back up
yep.
10 sentences to Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
I had just arrived in California. It was my first morning there. Niecy's renting this little house in Pacific Palisades. It's very cute. We get up. We're going to go for a hike on the first morning. It's a beautiful morning. We go for the hike, come back. I'm sort of still trying to get my bearings. I'm getting out of the car, and I hear somebody ranting into a phone saying, Equifax has us and Wells Fargo has us, and they're going to ruin us all. And I'm thinking, wow, that sounds just like something Elizabeth Warren would say. And I looked up, and it was Elizabeth Warren.
Is that right?
She was walking by the house.
Really? Seriously?
She really was, yeah.
California?
Her daughter lives right across the street. Isn't that the funniest thing?
That is wild.
I know. Wild. And it was, the funniest thing was I knew from what this person was saying. I was like, nobody rants like that about those two subjects.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's incredible.
Isn't that funny?
Oh, that's amazing. So what's up next for the MidPod, and what's out there right now?
Okay, so we're home for a couple of weeks, and we're getting organized. We're going to publish this story about Nunez's district, California District 22. Watch this guy, Andrew Janz, J-A-N-Z. He is a star and was endorsed by the Democratic Convention in California. And so we're home for a few weeks. I will say right now my story on Pennsylvania 18 has dropped, and I would love everyone to listen to it. I'm very proud of it. It has some really lovely stories about the district in it, and it's a really important race. It's a special election. That election is March 13th. This is a district that Trump won by 22 points, and the Cook Political Report has called it a toss-up. This is a working-class district, super blue-collar, coal and steel, you know, and opioids. Those are the big subjects. So that's what's up now, and I'd love for people to listen and let me know what they think.
Okay, and finally, let's get back to something a little bit lighter. We'll go back to our best dishes countdown, and I don't even know where we are.
We are at 44 and 43. Mm-hmm. This is the CNN list of America's top 50 dishes, mm-hmm. and I'm probably going to be eating all these all year, right, because as I travel across the country. So I have not had 44 in my travels yet. I've certainly had it in my life, but not for a long time. 44 is jerky. I
have my topic. Okay.
I'm surprised this made the list, frankly.
Why?
Because I don't eat a lot of jerky. I don't.
It's popular among certain folk.
Okay. All right. That's it. Is it popular in your world?
It used to be.
Yeah. I think it's a used to be thing.
Yeah,
maybe that's it. So the only interesting story about this, and this has come up in my writing before, that there is a creation myth, and CNN, I'm quoting CNN here, about beef jerky, that it actually is, its origin is American Indian pemmican. So they had something called pemmican that they would make when they went on, you know, long journeys, and it was made of like lard and seeds and dried meat, and they would make basically bars of it, mm-hmm. and pack it in their pouches, and it was a, you know, source of protein and fat for long journeys. So that's jerky. And then fajitas are number 43.
That would make my daughter happy.
Oh, does she love fajitas? Does she love Mexican food?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, you don't like fajitas?
No.
What don't you like about them? There's nothing to not like about a fajita. It's got, like, spice and meat.
Don't like spice.
And that's the thing, huh? Okay. How about the tortilla part? It's rolled in a tortilla. You don't like that? Okay. All right. So a roast beef sandwich is what you would is okay.
Bologna sandwich.
Bologna.
Like bologna and cheese. And tater tots.
And tater tots. That's right. That's number 49. Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. I have to tell one more story from California because the fajitas are making me think of this. So we arrived at the California Democratic Convention. And I didn't know what to do there. I'd never been to a convention before. And I thought, well, and there are all these caucuses. And I thought, I'm just going to go to one of these caucuses and see what they're like. And the one I chose was a Native American caucus. It was so beautiful. They start out, there's a bunch of three women in front, Native Americans, who are sort of running this thing. And as everyone got settled, they said, we want you to know that every time, you know, our tribe meets with an opposing tribe, we need to make a statement. And our statement is, we come in peace. Mm-hmm. So basically, this tribe is saying to the American U.S. government, we come in peace.
Can't top that.
Right? Right? So that was moving.
All right. Yeah, most definitely. That's Heather Atwood. This is MSO News Sports from the Pleasant Street Tea Company.